Hello, this is Serena, and I'll be reading from Patricia Chow's Mambo Peligroso, pages 257 through 259 in the paperback. Jun died in intensive care very early one May morning. She'd been unconscious for 2 days. Catalina had left her mother's bedside to open the blinds, and when she turned around, a nurse was already striding in. Through the plastic warp of the oxygen tent, Catalina watched Jun's delicate bruised face as the nurse fiddled with lines on the ventilator. At rest, her mother looked only Japanese. Without language or gestures, there was no Caribbean. In the months to come, she would review the scene over and over, editing, adding, fine-tuning. Jun had died before she went to the window. Jun had died with her eyes open, watching Catalina raise the blind, and had seen the sun for the last time. Jun had died while the nurse was adjusting the ventilator. She wanted the precise instant of leaving, lacking that, at least a memento. Goodbye, mami. Kata-chan, genki de ne. But she only had what she had. In Santiago, she was a better witness. What she'd never forget were the clear schoolgirl tones of the little mulata as she made her announcement to them. Your friend is in the park. You better go down. I think she's sick. Catalina had this to say for Tuerto. She had never seen him so fast on his feet. It was she who lagged, picking up her purse before she remembered it was empty, making sure the bedroom door was closed, wondering what more could happen on this day. By the time she was out the front door of the apartment building, Tuerto was already shoving his way through the little crowd that had formed around a bench about 10 yards away from where the band had been playing. Catalina didn't know what to make of the sight of Wendy slumped on the bench, t-shirt running with what looked like vomit, nose dripping. The white capris had slipped down to her hip bones. For some reason, she'd taken off her belt. Is she drunk? Catalina wondered. Tuerto, on the other hand, seemed to recognize the situation instantly. He lifted one eyelid with his thumb and examined the pupil, then lightly slapped Wendy's cheek with the other hand. Wake up. Wendy responded by coughing, a phlegmy, desperate hacking that ended in gagging, although this time nothing came up. Tuerto took his own t-shirt off and wiped her face and chest and said to Catalina, "Find us a car so we can get to the hospital. She's having trouble breathing." The other thing that Catalina would never forget was what she heard on the way to the hospital. All of them crammed into the landlady's VW, Catalina in front, Tuerto in the back with Wendy's head in his lap. She was coughing softly, wetly, and he was murmuring to her in Spanish. And then suddenly he said distinctly, in English, "Well, Cardoza, the party's over. It's time to go home." Catalina turned and saw him pull Wendy's face up to his. At first she thought he was kissing her, and then she realized he was giving her mouth to mouth. "I can't bear this," Catalina thought, and turned to face front. The car stank of vomit and what she had come to think of as Wendy's smell. There was not a sound from the back seat. After several seconds, she couldn't stand not watching, so she turned around again. Wendy was back in her original position, lying face up with her head in Tuerto's lap, eyes closed. He was stroking her bangs with his large hand, clumsily, the way you might pet a horse. "How is she?" Catalina asked. Tuerto didn't answer, didn't look up. "Cough, Wendy, please cough." But there was nothing. When they reached the hospital, a huge Spanish colonial edifice on one of the lower side streets, Tuerto hoisted Wendy up in his arms and her head flopped back. He readjusted her so that her head was cradled against his shoulder. She was small enough so that this was possible, and carried her in. Catalina, following, could only think of the first time she'd seen them dance in public at the Copa, when he'd taken Wendy into that spectacular shoulder lift and she'd arched her back and raised her arms and the crowd had gone crazy. Even now, with her ponytail crooked and mouth half open and all her limbs hanging limp, she looked graceful. Even dead, she was still his partner.